My son, Julian, loves to climb trees. In fact, for as long as I can remember, he's been ascending the heavens with his agile and adventurous ways. If there's something that he can grab hold on that will take him to an elevated place, he will take full advantage. As a result, my wife and I have become somewhat overly familiar with his risk-taking ways. Last year, Julian found another large tree by Jericho Beach. And as he was ascending the tree, I went to get a coffee as we continued to chill by the park, because that's what dads do when their sons climb massive trees. My wife, Carla, relaxed at the beach, and then our confident climber grabbed hold of a dead branch and placed his full weight on that branch. Immediately, he descended to the ground below, and a tree branch impaled his chin and ripped it right open. He fell approaching three stories. Well, when I got the call from Carla, I dropped my coffee and I ran to the scene while they were waiting for an ambulance. I ended up arriving at the same time as the paramedics, and my heart was just pounding. I was concerned for Julian's fall, and I was concerned for his destiny. The psalmist we are listening to today understood what it felt like to be seized by fright in the middle of a crisis. Psalm 91 was written at a time where God's people needed protection, and they were looking for help. As we read Psalm 91 as a song, we can identify three different voices. The first voice is a single voice that declares their personal trust in God. Most of the middle of the psalm is a collective affirmation by the congregation of the believer's trust in God. At the end of the psalm, we hear God's affirmation. Please stand and open your Bibles, whether it's in book or digital form, as we read Psalm 91. I invite you to read the words in yellow font with me. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let me pray for us. Living God, we pray that you would speak through this ancient psalm in a way that meets us just where we are today. May your Holy Spirit come and fill us with your presence and give us insight and wisdom. Help us to have an open heart and teachable posture to hear your voice. We pray in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. While we've been focusing on the Psalms in our sermon series, Summer Playlist, and the Psalms are a book of songs that shaped the love and life of Jesus. They shaped him so profoundly, we know that Jesus didn't just read the Psalms, but he was immersed in them. The Psalms were also the inspired songbook for ancient Israel for their public worship of God. They were not simply read, but they were sung, and they penetrated the minds and imaginations of the people as only music can do. The Psalms encompass the entire emotional spectrum of the human experience, joy and pain, despair to hope. In today's psalm, we discover that God provides protection for those who actively trust him. Psalm 91 seems to be sung in response to Psalm 90, where Israel cries out to God during their days of exile. Their only genuine source for hope of a home was in God. Faced with suffering and surrounded by trouble, they set their eyes on restoring their relationship with God. And despite the surrounding trouble and all the suffering that they were experiencing, the believer makes an audacious confession of trust in God at the beginning of the psalm. We read in verse 2, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Now, one wonders how the believer in this psalm could actively trust God with all that was happening, battle, disease, enemies plotting against him. How could he actively trust God? Circumstances often make it difficult to trust. Can you recall a time that was difficult for you to trust? Perhaps a time when you were counting on a friend or family member to be there for you at a significant moment, and then they didn't come through for you. Did you ever give your heart away in a love relationship, only to have it crushed? Have you ever invested in a business arrangement and then been disappointed, or perhaps even betrayed, or entrusted news to someone only for them to have your confidence broken? Few things are more sacred than trust between humans. A few things more devastating than trust are hard to even imagine. When we have trust fail, it can be devastating. Sometimes when we have broken trust in our human relationships, we start to become vulnerable and we start to see God through the lens of our human disappointments. We start to wonder whether out loud or deep within our hearts, is God trustworthy? Is he worth my trust? In exploring this question, let's look at the life of Jesus, who lived this psalm out perfectly. Jesus responded to trouble with trust in the Father during a pivotal moment in his life and ministry. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, it says in Scripture, at that moment, as he came out of the water, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove on him. And then a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Scripture says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was hungry. After that many days and nights without food, can you imagine what that would feel like in this moment, the vulnerability? The tempter, or the devil, approached Jesus with a temptation and said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Now, to be honest, stones into bread would be very tempting even when I haven't done without food for a long time. Jesus answered with scripture, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus resisted Satan, but he was relentless. He then took Jesus to Jerusalem and had him stand at the highest point of the temple. Satan challenged Jesus to throw himself down the estimated 450 feet or 45 stories to the valley below. It was there he said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. And then he quotes verses 11 and 12 from our psalm. He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Satan was saying, in effect, if you manifest yourself in a dramatic act of power, then these verses will apply. God will save you. He will keep you from falling down and dashing your foot on a stone. Jesus addressed the heart of the deception by quoting scripture once again. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. God had just clearly spoken at Jesus' baptism and said, this is my son. And then Satan comes along and says, if you are the son, then cast yourself down. This is a moment of trust. Jesus was tempted to turn away from his father, and follow the twisted truths of the enemy. He could give in, or he could lean into the loving heart of his father. The devil was trying to get Jesus away from trusting his father to turn to self-reliance, to cast himself down so that God would send angels to rescue him, to prove that he was the Son of God. Self-reliance is a popular temptation of the enemy. He uses it on each one of us. You can do this yourself, he whispers. This was a complete diversion. Jesus knew the point of this psalm wasn't what he wasn't going to walk on, but rather what he was going to walk on. Jesus' mission wasn't to avoid dashing his foot on the stone. It was to walk on serpents. It says in our psalm, in the very next verse, verse 13, you will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. The whole point is for Christ to crush the head of the serpent, or Satan, with his foot. We see in Scripture God speaking to the serpent in the Garden of Eden about how Christ the Messiah will crush the serpent's head. At the cross, when Jesus fulfills his mission and Satan's power is overcome and undone by what Christ accomplished on the cross, he is defeated. Jesus trusted the words of his Father in heaven when he said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Trust and reliance are possible because of the Father's love. Jesus trusted the loving heart of his Father. He didn't need to cast himself down from the temple. He only needed to trust his Father. In high school, I worked as a pizza maker. And not only did I enjoy the delicious food, but it was a great team to work with as well. Late one Friday afternoon in May, around 4:30, all the power went out in my pizza shop, and the sky strangely darkened. At that very moment, a tornado ripped through my hometown of Barrie. On a tornado scale of 0 to 5, this was an F4 with winds of 330 kilometers per hour. While our pizza shop was untouched, other than a power outage, that tornado destroyed countless homes. 8 people lost their lives, and hundreds of people were injured. As I walked around the devastation, there were homes with no roof or walls, yet clothes were still hanging in an open closet. I learned later that a family from our faith community had found refuge in their basement seconds before their tornado ripped through their neighborhood. My youth leader, who had his home destroyed, conveyed that once the tornado quieted down, he could smell this odd odor in his basement and realized that it was fresh soil that was from the 150 affected farms in the region. Dirt had been stripped and driven with such force from the tornado that it permeated various buildings in the demolished community. That night and for years following, there was trouble for people in my church community and people in my neighborhood. One thing was clear, though. My friends had found timely refuge, not only in their basement, but in their faith. They leaned into God's love and believed God's desire was to deliver them, not only from wind, but from a life without faith, hope, and love. How can we trust God? We can trust God knowing his heart is to deliver us. Immediately following the believer's confession of trust in God in verse 2 of our psalm, there are a number of troubles described that could be considered common experiences in ancient Israel. There's the threat of the hunter's trap, terror of night, pestilence that stalks in the darkness, the plague that destroys at midday. That's a lot. And then there's more. There's a battle scene with arrows flying and tens of thousands falling at the side of believers. In the midst of all this trouble, God provides divine protection. Our psalm uses a striking metaphor of a bird shielding its young with its wings. God drives away potential threats like a mother bird gathering her young chicks under her wings. The feathers of a bird are a beautiful illustration of God's creative design. They fit together tightly to protect the bird from wind and rain. Baby birds have not developed their feathers, so they just have fluffy down. So the mother bird covers them and protects them with her own feathers. In a similar way, God covers us with his feathers. It is the way that I picture my youth leader with his family huddled in their basement while the tornado just roared above them. throughout the gripping portrayal we see in verses 3 to 13 with threats all over throughout the psalm, we see God's heart to deliver us. The believer is assured that God will cover, deliver, and protect. The psalm announces, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." This is one of the great promises in the psalm, that God will command his angels concerning us. He commands what might be called guardian angels. God has made a host of heavenly messengers that are ready to follow his directions. They are often there to guard us and protect us from dangers that Christians are not even aware of. The Bible tells us that there are numerous angels. In Hebrews, we're exhorted to show hospitality to strangers, and at times, they are angels present. Angels are active in the book of Acts. Peter and other apostles are in jail, and an angel comes in the middle of the night and lets them out through open doors. The apostle Paul had his guardian angel experience during a shipwreck when a full ship of prisoners, guards, and crews was about to go down, and his guardian angel showed up and saved the entire ship simply because Paul was to keep his appointment standing before Caesar. Guardian angels are often to intervene in our lives, and they are involved in life and death situations. Psalm 91 assures us that we can trust God, knowing his heart to deliver us. How else can we know? How can we trust God? We can trust God, knowing his heart to delight in us. The first verse of Psalm 91 demonstrates this. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. There is an emphasis in our psalm of dwelling with God. Dwelling means to abide. It means to reside continually. To dwell means to have a close relationship with Jesus. And because of that relationship, to experience benefits that come for those that trust him fully. Our psalm describes a place where God delights in us and we delight in him. It says that the shadow of the Almighty is a safe place to dwell. And we know that if you're in someone's shadow, you are close to them. You're right next to them. Moses spoke of God as the dwelling place of his people. After the Israelites fled Egypt, they were camping out in the Sinai desert, and God instructed Moses, "Have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them." And so there in the desert, they built a sanctuary for God. My belief is that Psalm 91 refers to wings, which every Old Testament Jew would be familiar. For them, there was only one secret place, the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. The tabernacle was divided into three parts: an outer court, where the sacrifices were offered, the holy place, where priests burned incense, and then the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was built per God's instructions to Moses, was kept. Over the Ark of the Covenant were two cherubim, and their wings overshadowed the Ark. This is the secret place, the Holy of Holies, and the shadow of the Almighty. It's under the wings of the cherubim. No one was permitted to enter the Holy of Holies except the high priest. And he was only allowed or permitted once a year. If anyone tried to enter at another time, they would lose their life. The good news for us today is that we can enter the Holy of Holies because Jesus has made a way for us. We can live under the shadow of his wings. We can choose to live in that sacred space of intimate relationship. This is a spiritual reality, not just for mystics, but for anyone who actively trusts in God. Do you abide and reside with God in the inner sanctuary of his presence? Jesus dwelt with his Father and invites us to dwell with him. We see his invitation in the book of John. Remain in me as I also remain in you. When Jesus ascended to heaven, he left with us the Holy Spirit. He unleashed his presence into our hearts and enabled us to experience his love in remarkable ways. As Julian was being cared for by paramedics, you can well imagine that as his father, I was experiencing a sense of terror. Falling 2.5 stories from a tree could cause serious neck or back injuries. In that moment, it's difficult to explain the comfort and loving embrace I experienced from God in that moment. Once we had arrived at Children's Hospital, I comforted Julian. I told him that I sensed God's protection was with him and that his guardian angel had been with him and carried him down on his descent to the ground below. I expressed to my son that I believed we had known God's loving protection that day and that his angels surrounded us. Now, you might be saying, that guardian angel didn't do his or her job. Julian fell from a tree. In fact, what if Julian's neck broke and he became paralyzed for life? Is God still trustworthy? Is God still worth the trust? I know a lot of people who have tried to follow after Jesus and have been hurt. And that may be some of you today. This psalm played a part in Jesus' life. When he was tempted, the evil one twisted it and made it sound like a promise that God had not made. God's promise is not that he will physically catch us if we fall out of a building or a tree or save our home in a tornado, but that his love will always prevail. God is trustworthy because of his prevailing love, because we can trust him and trust his heart to deliver us and to delight in us. Our psalm has a clear condition. We see that the promise of protection are for those who are in an intimate relationship with God. We see God's affirming words in verse 14. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will deliver, I will protect, I will answer, I will be with them, I will rescue, I will honor, I will satisfy, I will show them my salvation. Don't you want some of that? Isn't that good? Those who are on the receiving end of these divine acts are characterized as those who love God, those who acknowledge his name, and those who call on him. These phrases suggest an intimate relationship with God. The long life promised and our psalm is given through the gift, through the power of an indestructible life. We become immortal. God's promise is that he will be with us in trouble, but sometimes the trouble remains, but we will always know his loving presence. Troubles did not disappear for Jesus. In fact, the skies went black, but he was in the secret place. In his letter to the Christians in Rome, the Apostle Paul asked a profound question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? And then we see his answer. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Trouble will always be defeated when we trust in God. Suffering is part of the human condition. Sometimes it even strengthens our faith, but it is not our destiny. It will pass, and we will experience ultimate deliverance with God as we dwell with him. In the book of Revelation, Jesus encourages the church in Smyrna, who were facing mounting troubles, suffering, and Jesus encourages them to persevere even to the point of death. And it says, because Jesus was going to give them a crown of life, eternal life. Our destiny is life forever. Trouble will always be defeated when we trust in God. Now, let me show you something that my son kept to remember his fall. This wooden branch was what he placed his trust on and put his full weight on. This branch is not trustworthy. It was not worthy of his trust. But do you know what is worthy of your trust? Jesus, who hung on a wooden cross. He is worthy of your trust. He will change your destiny, your eternal trajectory. My grandfather's favorite song was about clinging to wood. It was a song of trust. It is a hymn called The Old Rugged Cross. It tells the story of an old rugged cross on a hill far away, but quickly becomes a song of trust with these lyrics. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, and I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I always loved these lyrics. It's such a passionate declaration of trust. I will cling to the old rugged cross. I just love that word, cling. That is what our believer sings in this psalm. I trust, I cling. Trouble abounds, suffering is in my life, but I cling. This is what God is looking for. This is what he wants from each one of us. He wants to delight in you during your suffering and in your trouble. There is a spectacular promise in Scripture that speaks of trust and reliance. Scripture says these words, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth, to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Amazing, isn't it? God searches the entire earth for opportunity to give strong support to those who trust him with a whole heart. This is the kind of God we have. He is actively pursuing you. He wants you, he wants your heart, and he wants all of it. And we can trust him, knowing his heart to deliver us and to delight in us. Let me pray for us. As we are in a spirit of prayer, I want to invite you to take a step towards deeper trust. If you're exploring Christ today, I want to invite you to turn to Jesus. He is worthy of your trust. He wants to deliver you, and he wants to delight in you. Perhaps you may consider taking some time to discover Jesus in the Gospel of John. Perhaps in this moment, you can simply pray to God that you are choosing to turn towards him today. If you're currently walking with Christ, I want to invite you to prayerfully surrender your heart today, to be fully committed to your Father, knowing that he desires to fully support you. I believe Jesus knew Psalm 91 by heart, and at the time of his temptation, he leaned into it as a reminder of the love of his Father. Perhaps praying the Psalms in a personal way could be your practical next step of faith this coming week. And so, Lord Jesus, we offer up our lives to you. May you lead us in your love to greater depths of intimacy. May we abide in you and live under the shadow of your wings. Amen.